one soul or two?
Hello, hello, everyone, and welcome back to Tea Time Horror Stories, or Tea Time Horrors, whichever tickles your fancy. You have your host, me, Sam, and of course, our co-host,
Joe. Hello.
And we are back for another week of stories.
Stuff.
Yeah, this week.
Podcast topics.
Yeah, this week we are covering paranormal, actually.
Paranormal.
Joe's going to give you a little history lesson and paranormal. I'm going to give you a small little history lesson and with some paranormal. Where to start? So the week has been, you know what?
It went by really quick.
It did go by really, really quick. And this weekend, it's a highly anticipated weekend. By the time you guys listen to this, this weekend had already passed like weeks ago. But my brother is getting his first tattoo.
Yay.
We are popping his tattoo cherry. And it wasn't me who antagonized it. Don't listen to what my parents say or to what anyone else says. He actually came to me and was like, Sam, I want to talk to you. And he's like, you have hundreds of tattoos and my left side of my body is pretty much covered in tattoos. He asked me and he was just like, how does it feel to get a tattoo? Because my brother John is petrified of needles. If he goes to the hospital and they have to draw blood, he has to look away and keep himself occupied, or otherwise he gets woozy and lightheaded. So we're gonna see how this tattoo goes with how he is. I'm not as bad as him. I don't like needles myself, but I don't get woozy or faint over it. And I was worried when I got my first tattoo, would I be able to handle it? Would it be okay? And that's when I really realized I have a high pain tolerance. I was able to sit through 12 hours of straight tattooing on my leg when he was doing my leg tattoo. And he only used numbing cream toward the end when he was doing the shading part. But for the most part, it didn't really bother me. So, yeah, this weekend, I'm taking John on a little mini vacation. We're going down to L.A., one of my favorite places to go. We're taking him on a mini vacation because this guy's a workaholic. He's like the definition of a workaholic. This guy works like at least 6 days a week, most of the time. So we are finally taking him on a little mini vacation down to L.A. He's getting his tattoo on Friday, but we're leaving Thursday at 2 o'clock in the morning. We're pulling a Shannon and a Miriam when they go down to Disneyland. They leave at 2 o'clock in the morning to get to Disneyland around 9 or 10 in the morning.
Yeah, Disneyland.
And that's where we're going. John hasn't been to Disneyland since he was like a wee baby, like maybe 12, 10 years old, maybe. And he had a bad experience at that time. And so now I'm taking him back and loading him up with Gemamine because he does get motion sickness, and putting him on a bunch of rides. And we're meeting up with a friend down there too. So we're going to see how that goes. It's going to be a fun weekend. I can't wait for him to get his first tattoo. And who knows, maybe he'll like tattoos so much that he'll want to get more. Maybe. We'll see. Or maybe he won't even be able to finish this tattoo. He's going to get too lightheaded. I hope that's not the case. So send out some good wishes to John. We'll keep you posted on how that goes. But in the meanwhile, school. I started my new term. And I don't know whose idea it was to go back to school.
I believe that was yours.
Anyways, yep, school's a bitch. I'm still moving forward with this 911 dispatching. I'm actually going in for my second interview. Wish me luck on that. But enough on us. I'm sure you guys want to know what we're drinking.
Yes.
So, Joe, we went to this new place. I've had it saved for a while. I've had it bookmarked. And it's called, you're going to love it. You're going to love it. Poor Decisions. Except pour is spelled like pouring, like you're pouring liquid into a cup. And I thought it was fucking brilliant.
It's good.
Really? That's all you have to say?
Yeah.
Well, anyways, if you're in the area, check out Poor Decisions. Not only do they do coffee and drinks, but apparently they're also a brewery. So, well not really a brewery, but...
I don't think
but...
they're a brewery. I think they just have like special beers on tap that...
Right. So they serve both beer and coffee. And non-coffee drinks, too, for those who don't drink coffee. So, they have a number of things there. It's very pet-friendly. There was people there. There was at least 4 or 5 dogs there. They were so adorable. And people were just chilling there, drinking, watching TV. It was a really nice, cool environment. It's a little small, but the outside area was pretty big. And again, it is pet friendly. But first, Joe, what is that purple brown thing you have in your hand?
Purple brown thing?
Yeah.
Well, it's coffee. The purple bit, though, is it's ube.
I want to try the ube before you mix it in completely.
Ube sweet cream.
I want to try it.
It's like a purple brown.
It reminds me of the drink that we tried at
Disney.
Disney.
Yeah, so, I mean, it looks like the sweet cream is just as thick as it was over there. I think it's the
same thing.
It might be the same thing, but we'll see when we try it.
Nah, it's not as sweet. You'll like it.
Yay. I won't get a sugar rush from it.
Mm-mm. We'll try it.
Oh, that is sweet.
What?
Well, I'm compared to the other one, it's not as sweet, but I think that's partially because I did mix it a little bit before taking a sip, but...
I don't think it's that sweet.
It's pretty good, though. It's... pretty nice balance of ube, but coffee being coffee, it is kind of overpowering.
It's Vietnamese coffee, isn't it? Yeah. I don't really care for Vietnamese coffee because that's too strong for me.
I like it.
Of course you do. And what drink do I have? The kumquat.
Lemonade kumquat.
Yeah, lemonade kumquat. I don't even remotely remember what kumquat is. I think it's like a smaller version of an orange.
It's small, like, you know, tangerines, how big they are. They're like a quarter of that size.
Too bad I don't really know the size of a tangerine.
The cuties?
Yeah.
Those are tangerines, basically.
Oh. Anyways, I am drinking the kumquat lemonade. And I have a feeling it's going to be so sweet.
I don't think that was a good thing.
You could definitely taste the kumquat.
Uh-huh.
It's tart, but sour.
Yep, that's a kumquat.
And...
plus the lemonade.
Just try it. You're not going to like it. You're going to say it's too sweet.
Probably not. I think this would taste amazing if it had a little bit of sugar in it.
What?
Like, if it had maybe like a tablespoon or so of like simple syrup, or maybe like a tablespoon of just honey or sugar, I think it would make it a little bit better. But it is pretty good. It's not terrible. I'm honestly surprised you didn't go with a strawberry lemonade, because
They didn't have a strawberry lemonade. Well, I would have gone with the strawberry lemonade.
They had a strawberry matcha.
Mm-hmm, but it's not a strawberry lemonade.
Yeah, but I thought that was one of the ones that you were interested in trying to get.
Maybe next time. If there is a next time.
I'm pretty sure there'll be a next time.
Yeah, I'm not too impressed.
I really want to try their beers, though.
Of course you do. That's all you. All right, so let's get down to
business,
to the nitty gritty. As you guys know, this is the week of the paranormal.
Paranormal.
And we are both covering a paranormal, so it's not a paranormal myth thing. But the one thing that we have in common is that both of these took place in the Bay Area.
Yeah. Both in the Bay, like San Jose Bay Area, or is yours?
Both in San Jose.
Okay.
Both are in San Jose. So both of these take place in San Jose, California. One of them you guys have probably heard of. The other one, maybe not so much.
Not so much.
More. This one's more local. If you're local, you've more than likely...
May have heard of it.
But let's... Who wants to go first?
I think I went first last time, so you can go first today.
You're right. You did go first last time. So yep. I'll go first.
Yeah.
Okay. For those of you guys who are Bay Area locals... you will be very familiar, or mostly familiar, with this place. It is called the Hellier House.
Hellier or Hellier?
Hellier. Hellier. Same thing. Potato, potato. It is a house, obviously. So, again, it's a local myth, or kind of a myth paranormal kind of thing that we have here. About the home. On Hellier Avenue is a house in San Jose, California. This 1,645 square foot home sits on 0.29 acre lot and features three bedrooms and two bathrooms. This property was built in 1988 and was last sold for $196,000, which, if anyone knows...
$196,000 it was sold for?
Yeah.
Keep that number in mind.
Because that here in the Bay Area...
that's cheap.
That is the cheapest thing that you can potentially find here.
Very cheap.
Yes.
Like, to the point where you'd be questioning whether or not somebody was murdered in the house.
Well, we're going to get there. Spoiler, gosh.
So, somebody was?
Thank you. So we don't need to learn anything else, Joe. We can just skip to yours already. So the last time it was sold for $196,000. Based on the Redfin San Jose data, we estimate the house value is to be around $864,000, which sounds a little bit more appropriate here in this Bay Area. Mm-hmm. That is a complete steal, or so you think it is. There are shopping centers all around with schools within walking distance. It's also New Halyer Park or Donner Rock Park and Parkview Park. And did we mention this place is haunted?
We might have. Or and you might have.
That on the last three people who... And there was at least three people who were murdered there. But nothing too serious.
Nothing too serious, huh? Just three?
Just three.
Was it the same person or was this all separate locations?
We'll get there.
Okay.
So, some people refer to this place as the Hell House or Center of Hell House because of its location. It is completely empty. The only time you get some sort of life is during Christmas. People report to seeing someone put up single strips of Christmas light on the fence. Some say they do this so people can leave the house alone and make people believe that they live there.
Interesting.
Yeah. This is a local hotspot located on the corner of Halyer Avenue and Center in South San Jose. This seemingly quiet little house does not look out of the ordinary. And in fact, I have passed by this house many times and never took note of it.
Yeah, it's literally kind of blending in with the rest of the surrounding area.
Like, that's the house. It really just looks like a plain old house.
And it is still currently unoccupied?
It is currently unoccupied.
Is there a price for it, or is it like
we will
condemned?
Get into that.
Okay.
Yes. But this single-story little house is supposedly the site of some grisly murder. This is where different stories appear. Supposedly, it was a robbery-turned-murder when the family of three was killed and posed to look like a murder-suicide. Another story was a home burglary. They came in, raped the teenage daughter, killed the parents, and then hung her in the garage to look like a suicide. Somewhere else online, I read that supposedly the daughter was pregnant and knew that if she kept the baby, it would end her life and her parents would disown her. So she killed her parents and then hung herself. With another account says, truthfully, there was only one murder and it was actually suicide about 20 years ago.
Okay, I was just about to ask when.
Yeah. So supposedly the parents' bodies were either found in the living room or the garage or outside or downstairs in the basement. But does this place even have a basement? It doesn't look like it does. Who knows? But one thing that all had in common, they were all naked with each finding.
Okay, so that's weird.
Yeah. So just more stuff I read online. Regardless, the place was left and some pretty nasty spirits were left behind at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
From what I was able to find, nobody lives in there currently. And those who have tried to live in there after this had happened, three different owners from what I could find, quickly left, more so were chased out. The current owner, who doesn't live there but owns the place, said he tried to get the place blessed by a pair of monks. They stayed overnight to exorcise the spirits, but it didn't work out. They ended up sleeping in the living room, but when they woke, they were all in the garage. They were unable to bless the house, but instead blessed three large rocks in the front of the house to keep the demons inside. Supposedly, someone tried to set the house on fire, but it was saved before it could burn all the way down.
Wow, that sucks.
Yeah, so if you actually drive by the house, you'll notice that there are three large boulders parked really, really closely in the driveway so people can't pull up to the house anymore.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they did everything they could to block off from people going in and parking their cars and taking pictures and just trying to do stuff, crazy stuff. Yeah, so it's just all the stories online don't really make any sense. It's just a bunch of people. It's kind of like... This will be something else that I will cover. Here in the Bay Area, we also have the, was it the Halyer Road?
Oh, oh, geez. I know what you're talking about, but for some reason it's not.
I want to say it's the Halyer Road, but it's not the Halyer
no,
Road.
No, it's something
It's the one
else.
That has the supposedly albino.
Yeah, like cannibal, albino cannibal community or something
right,
like that.
Right, up I'm in the hills and stuff like that. I forgot what trail that
it
start, was.
It starts with an H, but it's not Halyer. It's, yeah. Hickey Road?
Hicks Road. There you go. Yeah, Hicks Road. Yeah, we have a Hicks Road here where supposedly it was a bunch of albino cannibal colony that lived up there, and apparently there was also a psycho
kind of like
house,
a
psycho ward that was up there.
It's a wrong turn type of situation.
Well, supposedly, I'm not sure if this is correct. Correct me if I'm wrong, but supposedly somewhere off on Hicks Road there was a psych ward that was up there that supposedly is abandoned. And they actually have I remember driving up there once. I think I was with Claudia or James or someone. And I wanted to see if I could get close to the abandoned building that's there. But they have that place
it's blocked off
and security up the fucking yin yang.
Yeah.
We got even just barely close enough and security came out of nowhere. Like fucking hawks just came out of nowhere and just flashed their lights on us. And we just took off before they even got to our car.
Yeah. If anything, it's probably something if you wanted to investigate the area, you'd probably need to contact
someone and get permission.
Yeah, ask for permission. I think the whole like albino cannibal thing, I think that's mostly like a local urban legend.
Well, it's kind of also like the urban legend of this house. All these things that say this supposedly happened, but I do believe I'll get into a little bit in a little bit from what I can remember. Like it's really jogging my memory because I actually wrote this story a long time ago, yeah. But I never actually got to cover it until now. So. Again, I also read, like, I read a lot of things. This is something that people have dramatized and just, like, put their own twist to it.
Yeah.
Just to make it seem more than what it really is.
I remember there was a recording that you were listening to, and it wasn't actually the recording for this location, but for a different homicide that took place in a completely different location or something like that.
Probably.
Yeah, I vaguely remember that.
Yeah, I listen to a lot of weird stuff.
Yep.
Okay, so, oh yeah, couldn't be burned all the way down. Sorry. So what I also was able to find out that the whole house was pretty much torn down and rebuilt.
Mm-hmm.
So since the murders have happened, it was an attempt to remarket it and make it seem like a nicer house and try to get rid of the memories or the potential murders that happened there. So the person basically almost tore down the whole entire house and rebuilt it. And try to place it back on the market. But a lot of different things are said to be heard coming from the house. Some report seeing someone peeking from the curtains from the front window. So here goes with the sightings.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Sighting. Apparently this house is well known among the Asian community. And a lot of stories and rumors come from there. One thing mentioned is just a single murder and a hanging suicide of a girl in the garage. Another one is that a woman that used to live there went crazy, burned the house down with the family in it, including herself. After the fire was put out, they noticed that on the house on one of the boards, there was a screaming face etched into the wood by the where the fire was at.
Mm.
So someone had etched in a screaming face into the fence.
Interesting.
Yeah. Supposedly, a couple lived in the house. One went crazy, killed the other, and then buried them in the living room.
Buried them in the living room?
Buried them in the living room. Again, these are all stories and things that people have posted online.
Just rumors of what actually happened.
Right. Supposedly. What
may have happened.
Yeah. Neighbors report the alarm has gone off on random nights, and it always tends to go off around 2:30 to 3 a.m. They also mentioned that lately, the black iron aluminum gates have opened and closed on their own at least 5 times, and the security company had to come out and pace out, and also said that 3 different residents that lived in the house have seen the lights turn on and off while no one was in there, and even that the house and
is it like repeated flickering or
yeah,
like somebody is playing with the lights?
Yeah, seen the lights turn on and off at least three different times.
Mm.
Again, we all know what the number 3 is for. So, neighbors reported taking a walk at nighttime and they see the currents move in the front living room window. Curtains.
That's kind of creepy.
Yeah. So, actually, there are some people that say if you walk by and you see the curtains, sometimes they'll see the curtains like push, like someone's holding it with their hand,
mm-hmm.
and you'll see a face.
You think it's possible anybody might be just squatting in there?
They have security there.
Oh, that's right.
Like, you're they have an actual security system in there. So, I don't think anyone can squat in there if they have a security system, and security guards actually go out to that place.
Oh, wow.
Especially when the alarm gets triggered.
Mm-hmm.
Someone was able to talk to the property manager, who's actually the handyman that works there. They were told the place is not for rent or sale. It has an owner, but they do not occupy the house. The handyman has reported to be creeped out by the house and will not stay there after dark. When inside, they always feel like they are being watched and followed. The handyman also mentioned that a while back, they called someone to fix the water heater, but it got really spooked and ended up leaving the job halfway through. The handyman even reported standing at the kitchen sink, and when they looked up, they saw someone standing behind them.
Hmm.
I wanted to save this last one for last, but well, it's just freaking funny and crazy to think. So someone believes that happened at the Halyer is a bit of a cover-up. So the Halyer house is located at 553 Halyer Avenue in San Jose, California. The zip code is 95111. We will evaluate the numerology of the address later in this article. The Halyer house is an example of what happens when the nature of corruption becomes a physical embodiment rather than something just the mind or the body alone can develop. When hate and destruction becomes a mean and a way of life, or more specifically, when it becomes a profession or something done for profit or for societal gain, when evil is a real form, begin to take root and become a force of terror in the real life of humanity. So this is all what people are saying.
Mm-hmm.
The numerology, so remember the address.
553.
It's important.
95111.
Right. So the house number is 55. Where's
Andrew? We need Andrew.
I know, right? Andrew, we need your numerology. You're so good with numbers. You know. So the house number 553, when analyzed with numerology, 5 plus 5 plus 3 equals 13. When simplified in numerology, would then mean 1 plus 3 is 4. So the N would mean that the house is a 4, which is an indication of the obvious fact that the house is connected to the space of Ekin Ekini, therefore notifying humanity that they seek the use of the house in a way that affects the physical planes of existence.
So is that based off of like Eastern beliefs?
I have no idea.
Because I know in a lot of Asian cultures, the number 4 is very taboo. So if you ever go to somebody who had immigrated from any of those Asian locations, either like Japan or from Asia, like China or something like that, they will refuse to have like a count of 4 of any one object in there. So like if there are plates, they'll have no less than 4 no like plates equal to like the amount of 4.
And yeah, it says here when a 4 is involved in numerology, it is used as a negative sense by the culprit being it's an act of sorcery telling all that they intend to harm both the planet and the human / organic life in that physical plane.
Yeah. Now that I think about it too, I think most of the 4 cards in the tarot deck are usually negative cards.
Yeah. So that's just the number 553. Let's get into the zip code. So great. Are you counting?
Nope.
Okay. So the house zip code is 95111. That equals 17. When simplified in numerology, this would mean 5 plus 7 equals 8.
Which is twice 4.
Again, the numerology is being used in a negative sense in this case, since it is being used as a warning that 8 means they intend to perform acts of ritual murder and torture endlessly or infinitively, because 8 equals 8, infinity.
8 sideways is the infinity sign.
Right. So the 8 is the infinity symbol, and we use it to combine with the original 4, means physical acts of evil will be done in this house infinitely, implying that they have no intentions of ending their cycle of violence.
That's interesting. That's
mind blown.
This is kind of like, I kind of want to see a documentary on this and then just have that one dude from the Alien show just be like, aliens.
With his hair and everything.
But it's definitely an interesting thing to look at, especially when you're referring to numerology and all that other stuff. And given the events that happened there, or did they ever find or catch the people who or person who did the murder, or was that kind of more of a cold case, or did they actually
I'm gonna get there. So hail your house in the news. There's nothing in the news. All right. Overall, I have found zero credibility with this place. I have tried to look up public records, went as far as requesting any records with zero results. I fucking paid for it to get that. And did something really happen, or was it just an accident that happened? There has been one confirmed murder here with no actual details given, but it was just a story that got thrown out of proportion from high schoolers. Many people claim this, but the hauntings seem to be real, and no one can stay any longer than 2 months without leaving in a rush. So yeah, that's the Hellier House. So I looked up, because you can go in public records and you can look up places and learn information. And I looked up the Hellier House and was not able to really find anything other than there's one murder that happened there, but there was no details on
it. One actual recorded.
Yeah, one actual recorded, but none actually of anything else.
Interesting.
So, that's the Hellier House. Yeah, supposedly they've had priests and Buddhist people to try and bless the house, but they were all runned off. Like, they refused to stay there. Supposedly that's what they said. So,
that's Hellier cool. House. Oh, now, not exactly cool that they got run out of the house.
Yeah. Anyways, your turn, Joe. Cool. Time for me to listen to you. Oh, I got a new car. It was my dream car. I got a Wrangler.
Yeah, she finally
Wrangler 4xe.
She finally gone and done it.
Yeah, I went and did it on Friday. I had it. I've had it for almost a week now, and I love it. She's gorgeous. Her name is Eep. Now, Joe, what are you covering?
Okay, so today I am covering the Winchester, not to be confused with the brothers on Supernatural, the Winchester brothers. No, this is actually the Winchester Mystery House that takes place here in San Jose, California. So a little bit of
the Winchester brothers aren't so bad.
We could probably do an episode about just them. Maybe like a top five episode situation.
That's hard to pick the top five episodes.
Well, if you really want to go into a top five for Supernatural,
I've seen every episode besides the last season of Supernatural because I've refused to acknowledge that they're over.
Well, from what I've heard is that they initially...
I know what happens in the last episode, Cass.
Yeah, but anyway, they had only planned to go five seasons. And when they figured out how big and popular the series was, they were just like, well, why don't we just keep running with it?
Dean and Sam are fucking amazing. And Bob is epic, and Cass is fucking... We all know Cass is in love with Dean. I don't care what anyone says. Fight me with that, but Cass is in love with Dean.
Jeez, and what Dean's is with you with... picking fights with every today? You're so violent today.
I had to get up early today. Ugh. Okay. I mean, granted, you get up earlier than I do, but I didn't go to bed until like 12 o'clock at night, and then...
Were you having trouble sleeping again?
Yeah, always.
Was it me snoring?
No. I just don't know what it is. But I had to get up at basically 7 o'clock today, deal with fucking traffic in the morning.
Drink your drink.
I wish I had a better drink. Like soju.
I mean, you've got soju in the refrigerator.
Tons of soju.
Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure it would mix well with that, too, the strawberry.
It actually would.
Mm-hmm.
I can put some soju in that.
Probably. It would probably bring down the tartness in that, too.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, if we want to do an episode on Supernatural, let us know. And we will pick categories five. Like top five emotional ones, top five funny ones, top five favorite ones.
Okay, maybe not go that in depth into
you
the
have
seas.
To. Because if you're asking me,
but you have to
all of the seasons, I can only choose five fucking episodes.
Yes.
No.
Top five.
I can't. I really
tippy
fucking
top.
Can't.
Tippy top five.
Because there are some that, like, Dean just plays this really good, has this Sammy kind of, like, he...
Sammy.
Yeah, like, everyone needs a Sam. Everyone needs a Sam. Yes. Frodo has a Sam.
I have a Sam.
Dean has a Sam.
Technically, Claudia has
Claudia a has Sam. A Sam.
It's the same Sam.
Everyone needs a fucking Sam. Counts.
I mean, Cass and Dean both had Sam.
More like so. Cass had Dean and Dean had Cass.
Yeah, more.
Cass
more
was there similar. For Dean. We all know Cass was there for Dean.
Yeah.
Yeah, fight me. fight me about it.
Jeez, you and this fighting again. I'm not going to fight you on that because I actually agree.
Okay. Okay. But yeah, I can't just pick five because they're too fucking good.
Okay. Top five, tip top. That's it.
Nope.
Yep.
Nope.
Yep.
Fight me.
Not fighting you.
Okay. Now continue.
Okay. So Winchester Mystery House, that's the topic that we're on. A little bit of history. When the Winchester Mystery House, one if not the most prolific haunted house in San Jose, California, and probably one of the more well-known ones globally. I mean, it's really difficult to go anywhere in the Bay Area and ask any of the locals about the Winchester Mystery House. If you ask any of the local inhabitants about the mansion, roughly about 80% of the people you ask will be able to give you some kind of information about the history. Now, located on the very street of the house's namesake, it is located off of 525 South Winchester Boulevard, which is funny because yours was 553, so maybe there's something in the numerology about
coincidence?
That, too.
I think not.
Cool. So, when Sarah initially moved over to California and purchases a house, do you know how many rooms was in the original house when she had purchased it?
I want to say there was like five.
Actually, you're kind of close. It's a little higher than that. There were eight total rooms when she had first purchased the house. And it was a small Victorian thing, still eight rooms is pretty damn big, especially for that time. But then again, during that time, those type of houses were built to be big enough to have families live in them. So that's pretty much the reason why it was like that. So the mansion itself was initially purchased as a farmhouse containing eight rooms. Construction began in the late 1800s, 1886 to be exact, by Sarah Lockwood Pardee Winchester. I think it's Pardee. P-A-R-D-E-E. Pardee Winchester. And she was born in 1893. And she had been the widow and heiress of the gun magnate William Wirt Winchester. Well, William had been the founder of the Winchester Repeating Arms Gun Company. He had earned a fortune selling the rifle because of its ability to fire several rounds of ammunition in rapid succession without needing to be reloaded. So during the 1800s, so for those of you who don't know what a repeating rifle is, basically what it is it's a rifle that has a little lever attached to the bottom of the gun where every time you fire it around, all you have to do is just pull on that lever and then recock the gun and it reloads a bullet into the chamber. So this basically revolutionized the gun industry. So after having sold this gun, it was eventually dubbed the gun that won the West. So in essence, he revolutionized the way guns pretty much functioned during that time and eventually kind of like fathered some of the other guns that we also know today. William had passed away from what notorious illness during that time?
TB.
Yes, exactly. I'm pretty sure you already knew that. But yeah, consumption back then, what is now known as tuberculosis, which is an extremely infectious bacterial disease that affects the lungs. So if the infection goes long enough, essentially what ends up happening is that the bacteria starts deteriorating your lungs to the point where you start coughing up blood, and then once it gets to that point, you basically just drown on your blood, which is kind of gross. Sarah's husband wasn't the only person she had lost. She had actually a daughter named Annie. Yeah.
They lost their daughter.
Yeah. She had only been 6 weeks old when she had died, and it was due to a childhood illness. I couldn't really find what specifically could have caused it, but my guess is that it was either something tuberculosis related that she may have caught from her father, or
I mean, back in that time people didn't know how contagious tuberculosis was.
Yeah,
they didn't realize how, that's why it spread so quickly, and that's why so many people died from it, because they didn't have a cure and it spread so easily and people didn't know that it was an airborne thing. Yeah. It was in the air, you get it.
Which is funny because back then their only treatment was to relax in a clean air environment, and that was it. Mm-hmm. And there were some people who did survive, but for those who had like compromised immune systems, which back then during that time were a lot of people. Unfortunately, it was a really big disease that kind of shook most of the world. So it's kind of interesting. What makes this house such a mystery? To start, Sarah had been extremely superstitious and had been instructed by a medium to move west for her house, west from her now, her, excuse me, had been instructed by a medium to move west from her house in New Haven, Connecticut. This decision had been made when she lost both her daughter and her husband. When construction started, no architect had ever been hired or consulted during during the creation. So one reason why is because the house that she lived in back in Connecticut was actually one that she and her husband had actually built together. So it was kind of something.
So did they leave there after he died?
Yeah, so pretty much the and I'll get into a little bit more of that a little bit later, but pretty much what happened was Sarah, being the superstitious type of person that she was, started feeling like she was under the belief that she was cursed, because not only losing her six week old child, she had also lost her husband in the process too. So she felt that she was cursed, and she consulted the medium. The medium was then told her that basically, if you don't move, you're gonna die. You're gonna die too, basically. And
believe this medium so much.
Well, she was extremely superstitious, and we'll go into a little bit more of that too a little bit later on. Yeah. So no architect had ever been hired or consulted. This had led to the unique design of the mansion, with windows that overlooked other rooms. Also resulted in several of the skylights being positioned in a way that will never have sunlight shine through them, including one which was built into the floor. So this was one thing that the carpenters and the builders were always like kind of confused on, is that you would always have these weird requests, and part of that is because of the seances she used to hold. So including this, there had also been several stairways which led all the way to the ceiling and just ended. So steps that go from the floor, and it'll be like a spiral staircase. And by the time you reach the top, it continues up into the ceiling, and that's it. Some of the steps in the stairways had alternating heights due to her short height. Some of the steps were barely 3 to 4 inches tall, because Sarah herself, I think, was barely like 4'6" or 4'8" or something. She was tiny. Which is funny, because the shower that she had in the house was low enough for her to basically was enough for her to take a shower in it. But anybody taller than her would basically need to bend over in order to take a shower, because she had the shower specifically built for her use, which was kind of funny.
Yeah, when I went to Winchester Mystery House and I was doing the tour, those steps, man, I almost tripped over them several times because they were so tiny.
Yeah, some of them were tiny. Like, the majority of them were extremely tiny. And then there were some that had alternating steps, too.
On top of that, she's so petite, and that some of these hallways are so narrow. And I don't think I'm a big person. I'm thick-ish. I'm not going to give away how much I weigh, but it's less than 200. And I even was like, maybe I should walk sideways on this. And Claudia, who we all know, like, Claudia's tiny.
She's a twig.
She's a fucking twig. And even her, she was just like, I feel a bit claustrophobic. And I'm like, yeah, me and you both. So imagine that.
But yeah, other than the stairs, we'll probably cover one more detail about the stairs in a little bit. But there had also been several. Okay, there are also several doors that would open up to solid walls, including one door in particular, which opens up to a 15-foot drop into the garden. So if you're not careful,
I've seen that one.
Yeah, pretty much. And there was recently a movie that was done where a kid actually ended up running out of that room and ended up falling and hurting himself. Or at least I saw a part of it, but we'll cover a little bit more of that later. In total, there are 160 rooms. So out of the total, when she had first started, started at 8, and at certain points they kept estimating more and more doors and actual rooms that were built into the house. As they continued to explore the house and uncovered more and more things, that what they initially thought was only about like 56 to about 70 rooms, they ended up discovering a total of 160 rooms, and 40 of them being bedrooms, and only one was a washroom with a shower. So out of that big ass house, there was only one shower that was built into the house.
And that's a shower for...
And that was a shower that she used. And what's interesting, too, about this is that even though she had these wild, wild requests of building things the way that they had, for example, that skylight that was built in the middle of the floor. So if you're a little confused on how you build a skylight in the middle of the floor, it was either the second or a third floor that she had a skylight built into. So you can see from the third floor down into the room below it because of the skylight, which was kind of interesting.
Wait, so there was over
160. There is estimated to be about 160 rooms in the entire house.
I mean, the house is big.
It is massive.
Are we talking about like, is there a certain
parameter to say
that there's a room?
So that's what I was trying to find out too, because when I was doing more research,
are these rooms like 5x5s or something?
That's what I'm assuming, because in one of these rooms, and I'll make sure, I hope I don't repeat this, but in one of the rooms, they found back in 1975, there was this hidden room that they found that only contained two chairs and a 1900s style Victorian record player. And that's all that was in this room. So if they're considering kind of like a closet, like the walk-in closet, like what we have,
as a room?
If they're considering that a room on its own, then yeah, I can see how that can easily turn into 160. Yeah. But the house in itself is pretty massive.
Yeah, I know. I've been there.
Yeah. But yeah, so going back to the shower, one of the reasons why she was considered a visionary for her time is because it wasn't normal for somebody to go into a house to take a shower inside the house. So the only way that you can take a shower or bathe inside of an actual house is if you had water drawn and heated inside the house from an outside source, not from within the house itself.
Like a water heater.
So she, it is said that she is actually one of the few people who invented a drain system that led from the bathroom or the shower into like an exterior drain system that kept the house clean. So she's actually said to have invented something like that. But it's actually interesting too, because there are other patents that she had that she is rumored to have invented, such as a crank to open up a window instead of having to actually physically wrestle with a lock and push a window open and then struggle to like bring it back in. Apparently she was the one who invented that wench that opened up the window. She was also one of the first people who lined her walls with wool insulation. So that way then the house itself can maintain its internal temperature without the need of like an external source or something like that.
Right.
So because of that, she was seen as somebody who actually knew what she was doing, but at the same time she was kind of somebody who had these odd requests. So, additionally, there was a séance room which was believed to have been a way to communicate with the spirits for suggestions on how to construct the house. So this may be another result as to why there was that skylight in the middle of the floor. People also believe that it was a way for her to try to contact her late husband. To add to the elaborately built mansion, there are several secret passages and trap doors. For example, there's a cabinet which leads down a corridor containing 30 doorways, many of which serve no purpose. An ongoing theme of the house is the frequency of the number 13. For instance, there are 13 bathrooms, but only one shower. 13 hooks in the séance room, which were used to hang coats and whatnot. 30 overflow drain holes in the Hall of Fires. So basically anything that needed to be washed, those drains would go into the thing, which is another thing that she added aside from the drain that was in the shower. and there had been several 13 paned windows, which were shaped in that of a spider web. 13 paneled ceilings, hallways that have 13 doorways and several stairs. Several stairways with, if you haven't guessed it at this time, yes, 13 steps. So finally, there were 13 sections in her will, all of which were signed by her. Each page had been signed. So she signed her will 13 times. So she was obsessed with the number 13. I thought
13 was my favorite number.
Yeah. I mean, if you really think about it, 13 really isn't a bad number. Just people associate it with Friday the 13th, which is, again, something that was technically invented by Hollywood, Friday the 13th.
13 is a good number. Keep that in mind. Always.
Yeah. So to add to her paranoia, or not so much her paranoia, but her superstition, she also made it a habit to never sleep in the same room two nights in a row. So the house, one reason why also is because apparently the house had already been haunted prior to her moving into the house.
So she moved into a haunted house.
Yeah, but it was something that she wasn't aware of. So part of initially, dodge she
your
saw
eyes, cross your T's. You should look up that stuff before going into a house.
But this also goes back to her believing that she was cursed. So she thought that that the ghost had actually followed her from Connecticut to California. So that was one of the reasons why she started building too. Actually, no, that it wasn't the reason why she built. I'll get into that in a minute. So the mansion was originally 7 stories tall. However, what? Yeah, so it was big. Like some of the older photos, like old photos pre a certain event.
The original house before she started construction on it?
Well, the original house was only 8 rooms, and I think it was like 2 or 3 stories tall. But as she started building onto it, there was one tower in particular that she built to be 7 stories tall, and each one had a floor to accompany.
So only one.
So only one portion of the building, like only one wing of the actual mansion itself, had 7 floors.
Why don't I remember that part?
Well, because I'm about to get into that.
Oh, okay.
So, however, in 1906, an earthquake had done extensive damage and temporarily stopped construction in order to make repairs. An earthquake actually damaged a big portion of the house, so they had to stop construction in order to make repairs. During this time, Sarah had actually been trapped in one of the rooms, and she was stuck there for several hours. So it took people who were building the house, including some of her servants, to like dig her out of the area that she was at. So it was a good thing that they knew that she was there, otherwise she probably would have died a lot earlier. But yeah, there was a building that was 7 stories tall.
What
within
story
the mansion.
Was she on?
I'm honestly not quite sure because, like I mentioned earlier, she wouldn't sleep in the same room twice. So she could have been at any part of the mansion. So one way that I would probably kind of like triangulate that is if I figure out which
buildings
part
fell down.
Yeah, yeah. Basically, what part of the building took the most damage?
The only reason why I
asked
that is because earthquakes are kind of scary to me.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not the act of earthquake. If I'm just in my normal room and an earthquake happens, I'm like, ooh, earthquake. Nothing big. But I have this irrational fear.
With bridges and earthquakes?
With bridges and earthquakes. I don't know why. I saw a video of an earthquake in a bridge and it looked horrible. The thing fell apart. You're screwed. You're dead. And I always have this thing in the back of my mind that I'm going to end up on a bridge when an earthquake happens and I'm fucked and and it's going to go wiggly waggly all over the place and I'm going to fly off.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's an irrational fear, but I understand.
I mean, it's not necessarily an irrational fear. An irrational fear would be something like not wanting to finish the bottom of your ice cream because you think that there are spiders lying underneath it. So
there could be.
Yeah, but that's not preventing you from eating the rest of your ice cream.
Not if it's chocolate chip.
Not if it's, you mean Rocky Road?
Or Rocky Road. Rocky
the Haagen-Dazs Rocky Road?
Has to be Haagen-Dazs Rocky
so
Road.
So good. I know some people don't like that whipped marshmallow in the center.
That is the best part.
But that makes the ice cream.
That's the best part.
Anyway, Sarah had been trapped in one of the rooms for several hours during this time and was later dug out by some of the construction workers. The house now currently stands 4 stories tall as of today, and this would not be the only earthquake the house would survive, as it also withstood the 1989 Loma Prieta earthquake. And due to the unique floating foundation in which the house was built upon, it was able to withstand the majority of that earthquake as well, which is why it still stands today. Cool. So there had been so much done during the construction of the mansion that some rooms were discovered as early are still frequently being discovered, which is why it's not only 160 now, but it could potentially be a little bit more because people may have stumbled upon it as early as 1975 with one room was discovered, and again, this is the one that contained the two chairs and the 1920s style record player. This is rumored to be one of many rooms which was overlooked during construction and may have been boarded up by accident. A safe was also discovered a few years ago, either in or near the Grand Ballroom. By any chance, would you happen to take a guess as to what was in the safe?
Guns?
No.
Clothing? Baby stuff?
I mean, you're close with the baby stuff. So when they actually got the house, when they actually got the safe open, they actually found two separate locks of hair, one belonging to her late husband and the other one belonging to her baby. Yeah, to her baby. So that's kind of goes that might also contribute to something that I will be covering a little bit later.
Hi.
I kind of put this out of order. I was kind of like typing it up back and forth, so I accidentally moved this portion a little bit later. So if it seems a bit disjointed, is because it is.
House is disjointed, so it fits.
It kind of fits. But being that she was so superstitious, she believed that the souls of those who had died by the Winchester rifle had followed her from New Haven to San Jose. So again, her this is basically why she actually began construction on this house to begin with, or to start with.
Making room for all the souls out there.
Yeah. Some of the theories as to why she built the mansion the way that she did was to confuse the spirits that plagued her. Another reason was because when she initially moved to California, she was told to build the house for herself and the spirits. So if you remember or recall when I was mentioning about the seance room, it is believed that she would consult some of the spirits to get advice on how to build the house in a way that the spirits could be comfortable in. Which might also make sense as to why she had some of the windows positioned the way that they were, and why some of the rooms were just boarded up.
It also explains why some stairways led to the walls,
yeah,
because of that spirits and stuff.
Yeah. As kind of like a marker for where spirits can go to hide, basically. But why keep building? The medium who instructed her to move had given her one last bit of advice, which was, quote, "If you continue building, you will live. Stop and you will die." So in other words, the medium basically said, "If you want to live, then just keep building." And we'll get back to that in a minute. Other theories as to why she built the labyrinthian mansion was because she... Mentioned was because she may have been part of a secret, but people theorize that she was part of the Freemasons and was trying to build one massive puzzle with hidden clues in the ballroom, the windows, and the iron gates that surrounded the house, and was referenced from an English philosopher named Francis Bacon. That can also explain why the house was built so in such a bizarre manner, because people think that because she was part of this secret society.
Was she really part of the Freemasons?
Well, that's why this is a theory. It's rumored that she had been, and plus with her being a widow of an ex-magistrate, she was technically the richest woman in the entire world during this time too. So with her possibly being a member of the Freemasons, it doesn't exactly sound too outlandish. Or at least to this point, it doesn't. It is also possible that she wanted to reminisce and go back during the time when she and her late husband had built their original house back in Connecticut. So people also theorize that since she had built her original house with her husband back in Connecticut, she just wanted to relive those days and to just continue building, which is one reason why people think that she continued to build and build and build. And going,
she's mourning.
Yeah,
everyone mourns differently, and I guess hers is just building.
Yeah. So going back to those two locks of hair, another theory as to why she kept building was that she simply just lost her mind and went crazy. And so because
don't we all don't.
But yeah, because of that, people thought that she had just gone psycho and just was just like, I build. Like,
why does that remind me of The Shining when he's just staring out into nowhere, or he's writing the same word thing over and over again?
All work and no play makes Jack a dull boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Red rum. Red rum. Red rum.
Cool. Yeah, The Shining. We'll actually talk about Stephen King a little bit later.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So another theory is that she was simply trying to create jobs for the locals in San Jose as a way to give back to the community. So people think that she used it as kind of an excuse as to continue building.
Conspiracy she's covering up.
Well, yeah, a conspiracy she was covering up. Maybe she was the one who really killed her husband and daughter for the money. Blah, blah. Ooh. I'm not saying that's one of the theories. It's just
there has to be.
I mean, it's an interesting theory, and I'm pretty sure there have been others who had suggested the same thing. But if you really think about the time,
I'm always into a good murder.
I know you are. So I
need to look this up. I need to look this up.
Very sure that she didn't murder her family. I mean, it would have
it's an excuse.
Okay, so if Lizzie Borden,
don't see me right now, I'm winking.
If Lizzie Borden
Borden took an axe,
yes,
gave her mother 40 whacks. When she saw what she'd done, she gave her father 41. Mm-hmm.
But I mean, granted,
she's innocent.
Her husband's death wasn't as gruesome as Lizzie Borden's father. But still, if there was any suspicion that she had killed her husband, I'm pretty sure it would have been all over the place, because this didn't exactly take place during the same time, but it's pretty damn close.
I'll cover that later.
look up information on that first, and then we'll consider that as a topic. Going back to that medium telling her to continue a building, she... So construction of the house continued for 38 years and finally stopped when Sarah passed away on September 5, 1922 due to heart complications while she slept.
How old was she?
So she was born in 38. Let me backtrack. I was actually going to do that estimation, but I accidentally did it. So she was born in 39. She began building the house.
When did she die?
She started building in 1886, and then 38 years later she passed away.
18?
She was born in 1839 and she passed away in 1922.
She was 83.
Yeah, she was an old one.
Damn, that's old. That's, for that that's, time.
Yeah, during that time, that, if you made it past
60,
yeah, well,
you were considered a god.
Yeah, well, considering those times, if you made it past
40
the,
years
the age
old.
Of 30 or 40, then yeah, you were considered an old timer. But yeah, construction lasted for a whole 38 years while she was building. So 1922, due to heart complications while she slept, she had passed away. So let's take a step back and let's say that you're one of the carpenters working on the house. 38 long years, and you've been instructed to continue building and building and building.
Sí, señor.
How long do you think it took for these employees to stop working when they found out that she passed away?
Never. I think they continued to work.
I wish that was the case. So it is rumored that the builders stopped as soon as they heard that Sarah had passed away. Many of the nails being hammered into the walls were left protruding halfway as evidence of this rumor.
Wow.
So people literally heard that she had passed away.
Yes, she's dead.
Dropped their hammers. drop their paintbrushes.
Well, yeah, I would think they would be like, who's going to pay us now? Yeah, because there's no one to take over the estate.
That's basically what it was. So nobody continued working on construction of the house after she had passed away. So after her passing, the house was opened to the general public in 1923 and gained the title as National Monument in 1974. Today, the house remains open with guided tours, both for daytime and nighttime. A garden tour is also available as well with a special walk. With spirits tour where guests are able to attend a seance as they walk through the house. And during one of the seances, there was a medium or a psychic who claims to have been able to contact Sarah's spirit and was able to tell the guests that Sarah is extremely happy with the amount of visitors that she gets on a constant basis.
That's cute.
Yeah. So it's definitely something that's kind of worth wanting to go. So, able to attend a seance. Okay, they also have special night tours during Halloween.
I did that.
Yeah, so the flashlight tours, that's one thing that I want to try to do. I've only ever been there during the day. But yeah, starting back in January of 2023... they started to run a Friday the 13th special for days that actually land on Friday the 13th.
That's cool.
And it's a flashlight tour, so it's one that does go during the night. So I'm not too sure if this is if this was a one-off or if they do this every Friday the 13th. But it's definitely something to take a look at. So if any of you locals to San Jose or anybody in California that wants to take the travel to San Francisco. The Winchester Mystery House is roughly about an hour and 15 minutes from San Francisco. And you can pre-plan one of these trips to visit, just kind of like one of those things to get away from the usual.
It's right next to Santana Row, and they have some good food there.
Oh, yeah, they do. They run Friday. Okay, so back in 2022, the mansion was open for the Menagerie Oddities and Curiosities Holiday Market, which was basically a market that sold all kinds of odds and ends that piqued the interest of
like
people.
Like the expo we went to.
Yeah, like the expo we went to. In fact, I think it might have been
the same one,
the
actually.
Same people, but this one just took place at the Winchester. So it's definitely something to keep an eye out just in case they do decide to come back. Let's see. During the height of COVID, an online tour was created and is now currently available for the low price of $8.99. It is a one-time purchase and remains available to view whenever you want with no expiration date. So once you purchase the plan, it's a perpetual license where you'll be able to basically get to take a tour of the house. Which is, and self-guided too. And I think there are some like parts of the website where you can actually click for more information, which is pretty nice. So going back to a little bit more of the, specialties of the house, the Victorian style mansion contained a total of about 24,000 square feet. So it is massive. It has 10,000 windows, so 10,000 windows altogether. How many windows do you think the Empire State Building has?
More? Less.
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 Okay, so do you have what's your best guess on how much less? So
10,000 less.
10,000 less? The Empire State Building has no windows?
Yes.
Okay, so you're way off on that.
Yes.
The Empire State Building only has 6,500 windows compared to the 10,000 windows that the Winchester Mystery House has.
So that's including inside windows?
That's including inside windows. This includes all the skylights.
I feel that needs to be rechecked. I don't think that's true.
Well, I think what people are counting are the actual panes of glass. So a lot
individual, like in the stained glass.
Yeah, so
okay, that makes sense.
That
yes, that's
kind of makes
yeah.
sense, but if you really think about so
when I think windows, I think like think that's that, one window.
The whole collective is one window.
Right, exactly.
But I think what they're doing is they're taking in consideration each pane of glass that was created.
Okay, then that makes more sense.
So there were 2,000 doors, 160 rooms, 40 of them being bedrooms. There are 52 skylights, many of which will never see the light of day. 47 stairways and fireplaces, 17 chimneys.
I get it.
Yeah.
Skylights that will never see the light of day.
Well, because of the way that the house was built, it's either skylights. So we have solar panels. And those solar panels are angled to get the optimum amount of daylight. So this means that during the times of the day where the sun isn't directly hitting those panels, we're not receiving the optimum amount of electricity from that. So this kind of goes with those skylights, because they're either positioned in a way that gets minimal sunlight, and if they were to get sunlight, they're blocked by another part of the building. So there's no way.
They're useless.
Yeah, they're just there for looks, basically.
Useless.
Maybe not useless. I mean, useless. You still get a good amount of light during the day.
Useless.
So in total, there are 13 bathrooms with only one shower. And altogether, there were 6 kitchens.
Damn.
Yeah. She had, so a lot of people say that she started becoming.
How many square feet?
24,000.
If you really think about it,
the house that you just covered was roughly about 1,000 something square feet.
Yeah. And the house that we are trying to build is bigger than that.
The house that we're trying to build is bigger than 24,000?
Yeah. We're trying to build a 25 to 26,000.
That seems, I don't know, something seems off.
Right, something seems off with that math.
Maybe it was 240,000? I don't know. I'm pretty sure it was about 24,000, but I could double check that.
So, if we get that wrong, please let us know.
Yeah. Currently, the house holds the Guinness Book of World Record for longest continuous home construction. So for the Guinness Book of World Records, it's in there solely because of the amount of time that Sarah was doing construction on it. 38 years. Now the fun part. Sarah had spent about $5 million on the construction of the mansion.
At that time money or current?
At that time money.
So what would be the equivalent?
That amount today would be roughly $80 million. So five.
Holy.
So, yeah.
Why can't I be related to you?
So how much was the other house going, the house that you covered going for?
Like $842,000.
Cool. Due to the bizarre and incomplete construction of the house, it was estimated to be valued at about $5,000.
$5,000?
Yes.
5,000?
5,000. 5K. And was finally sold at auction for a whopping $135,000 to a man named Thomas Barnett, whose family still owns the Winchester Mystery House, or it's rumored that his family still owns it.
Why does that name sound familiar?
The reason why it sold for so cheap is because of the overall construction, and because the construction was technically considered incomplete. We're talking some of the doorways probably didn't have doors on it.
When I went there and did the tour, that like so, half of the house was still incomplete. It was just It was still just in frames. There was no insulation, no wiring, no nothing.
That was pretty much right. Well, so basically, how they finished what they finished when Sarah had died, or what they were working on when she had died, what was stopped being constructed, pretty much stayed the same. So they kept it as is, which is kind of cool, to be honest. But the fact that she had spent $70 million of today's money, and that's still really cheap compared to what some other houses are built. But during that time, it was only purchased for $135,000, which is
dirt cheap.
Yeah, especially for a house that size. About that size. Cool. So now finally we get to the fun part, the activity, the paranormal activity.
We covered the history. We haven't even covered the scariness.
Yeah. So what are some of the more common instances of paranormal activity? So first of all, one of the areas that gets most activity is
your bedroom.
Actually, no, it's not our bedroom.
Oh.
It's actually the third floor of the servants' wing. So unusual sounds such as disembodied voices and footsteps are said to be heard frequently in one of the third floor corridors, and has been reported by several employees, visitors, including Harry Houdini, who had gone to the house in an attempt to dispute any paranormal activity and was unable to explain some of the activity he was able to find. Other paranormal investigators have also witnessed seeing shadow figures and even took photos of orbs floating throughout the hall, this particular area of the mansion. I've seen some of the pictures, and it is really hard to find convincing evidence of orbs.
I don't really take orbs seriously because dust and
like I can see orbs if it looks convincing enough, but for the most part, if it literally just looks like if it's smaller than a pinpoint, then I'm just like, yeah, that's just dust. But if it's something that's a little bit larger,
more substantial,
then yeah, I can see it. But most of the time, when I see these photos, it looks like it's just a speck of dust or something.
Yeah, I don't really take orbs, but shadows and stuff like that, that's a different story. Mm-hmm. Talk to me about that.
Others claim to have seen full body apparitions of a former worker named Clyde, who had been seen pushing a wheelbarrow with a wheelbarrow full of either coal or ash in the basement. He is often seen wearing white overalls and a boater hat. There have also been other eyewitness accounts of Clyde making repairs to a fireplace in the ballroom. Most of the time, people believe they're just it's just an actor who's just walking throughout the house during certain times. But when they looked or try to interact with him, he ends up disappearing. Other activities include gentle tugs on loose clothing, as well as disembodied footsteps and voices. Cold spots can also be felt in several locations within the property, and one of the maintenance workers often hears footsteps in one of the water towers. So there's one instance where he kept hearing footsteps on the floor above him. So when he went to go investigate, he couldn't find anybody there, but then he can suddenly start hearing footsteps on the next floor above him. So he continued to go all the way up to the rooftop where the water tower is actually stationed, and he wasn't able to find anybody. And this is after him thoroughly checking each floor without finding a single person on there. So he frequently hears footsteps near the water tower area.
Damn, my neighbors don't know when to be shut.
Okay, going back to the seances, and this was going back, Sarah herself was said to have made contact and expressed happiness with the amount of visitors in the mansion. We already covered that a little bit earlier. Various residual hauntings are also reported, Clyde being one of them. So for those of you who are kind of wondering what a residual haunting is, residual hauntings are a type of haunting where a spirit replays certain events, kind of like a song playing on repeat. So as kind of like an example, if somebody did the same thing over and over again during the day and died suddenly in the area that they lived in,
supposedly their spirit would stay there and continue doing the same thing over and over
and then it would even be down to the minute where the activity will occur. Sometimes it happens at random, where you'll see a person walking and just going about their day as normal. So Clyde is said to be one of these residual hauntings where he's seen making repairs to the fireplace, or just wheeling a coal and ash from the fireplace to and from. So that's kind of one of the more popular hauntings that you kind of see. There are also said to be intelligent hauntings that are present as well. And this goes back to Sarah.
Intelligent,
yeah. So I'll go into that too as well. So many of the paranormal investigators back this up with EVP, also known as electric voice phenomenon, or equipment malfunction, such as equipment with full batteries dying within a short time frame of them using them. This is believed to be a spirit or spirits trying to communicate with us, i.e. the intelligent part. They're referred to as intelligent hauntings, as the spirits seem to be self-aware of their situation and want to try to make contact to either get help or to harm. But luckily, though, every instance that anybody has experienced. Cool. So this is believed to be a spirit or spirits trying to communicate with us. They are referred to as intelligent hauntings, as the spirits seem to be self-aware of their situation and want to communicate. So one reason why any of these spirits who are self-aware would want to make contact to communicate would either be because they want to seek help, to share knowledge, or to do us harm. The good thing though is that at this place there are no instances of where any of these spirits are intentionally trying to do harm. So they're like usually in haunted places, especially some that are as popular as this one, occasionally you'll get a bad spirit that tries to hurt you by either scratching or pushing. Sometimes if you have long hair, you can be, okay, your hair can be pulled. So these are what are considered to be as intelligent hauntings. So finally, physical apparitions are also said to appear. So such as shadow people, can be seen wandering the halls and gardens during the night, especially in the areas where the servants were frequently at during the time where they were working and whatnot. So that also includes like the orbs and stuff that people seen. Some there was also a couple of photos that were taken of the front porch where it looks as if there was a spirit or a shadow person looking out from one of the windows in the first story room, looking out of one of the windows. I tried looking at the picture and I honestly couldn't find anything in it, so I'm not quite sure where exactly they were referring to, but I had to have taken a look at that picture top to bottom, left and right, from corner to corner, and I couldn't figure out what it was they were trying to point out. So take that as it is.
Value.
Yeah. Okay. So coming up on the last bit, so pop culture and media. The mansion inspired Stephen King, who wrote a book called Rose Red and was a direct reference to the mansion. He had also did a miniseries called Rose Red, which featured a medium. I don't know if you remember the actress, but the movie Halloween Town from Disney. Their grandma, they find out, is a witch, and they find out that there's a whole town dedicated to Halloween.
Yeah, I remember that, but so I don't remember the actress.
The main actress ended up playing the role of the medium in this movie, and she was supposed to be kind of like a special needs type of character, but when it came to like detecting spirits and stuff, she knew how and where to contact the spirits and stuff like that. So going back to Disney, Walt Disney had also gained inspiration from the mansion and was one of the main contributions for Walt's Haunted Mansion attraction. So he had actually gained inspiration from that as well.
Disney.
Among these, several paranormal investigators have gone to research the house, including Ghost Hunters, our favorite Ghost Adventures, and BuzzFeed's Unsolved Supernatural, and The Watchers Ghost Files, who was done by the same people, but they decided to do another like special where they did a more thorough investigation, but from a different company.
Okay.
And that was the
one we saw.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lastly, in 2018, a movie had been filmed starring Helen Mirren called Winchester. The movie cost $3.5 million to film and grossed a total of $46 million worldwide.
Wow.
Yeah, it did horrible.
Good job.
Good job. It did horrible. Runtime is about an hour and a half.
I heard it sucked.
It has 2.5 stars out of 5 on IMDb. 13% on Rotten Tomato with a 32% audience score. Unfortunately, the movie was a snooze fest.
I heard it was bad.
The amount of notoriety that this mansion has and the historical aspect of the type of person that Sarah was herself.
This movie put her to shame.
I heard put it to shame to the point where it didn't really highlight very many of the aspects about her being, like I was mentioning before, how she was seen as a visionary with inventing certain things that helped modernize a lot of houses that we have today. But yeah, it did not do very well at all. So going back to that top five supernatural, I actually have it in here. Recommend doing a top five horror movie episodes. And I was thinking maybe instead of just straight horror movies, maybe we can just focus on like our top five horror comedies, stuff like that. If anybody wants us to actually cover something like that, just definitely let us know in the comments.
Yeah, shoot us a DM. We're on Instagram and Facebook.
Like, comment, subscribe.
Say hello to us. You can always catch us on our email, which is teatimehorrorstories@gmail.com. But I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. I thought the Winchester Mystery House is a mystery house. I've done two tours there myself, both nighttime tours. I haven't done a daytime tour. But I do want to do that seance one. So that's...
The seance one does sound fun, but I think that one is specifically for Halloween, but I'm not entirely sure.
Probably. Well, we'll try. Those tickets sell out really quick. They do. If you are interested in going to the Winchester Mystery House, give them a gander, give them a look, and just know that it takes...
It's about an hour and a half to 2 hours.
2 hours at least.
The tour itself.
Yeah.
Which is funny because being on tour... There are several locations that are roped off, and the guides constantly remind the party to stay together and to not go down any hallway that's roped off, because you will get lost.
Not just will get lost, but it's actually pretty funny when during my tour we had these people that were fucking annoying, and they kept trying to leave the tour group, and there were these random cast members or these people that work there would appear out of nowhere and be like, please follow your group. Mm-hmm. Like, these guys would be fucking hiding or something, and these people tried to go right when we went left, and someone would be like, nope, you're going the wrong way.
Yeah.
So these guys are placed around there to make sure that you guys don't do things you're not supposed to.
Yeah. And that what's interesting is that you won't know that they're there until they're telling you to turn back to your thing. Because there are so many trap doors and hidey holes in this place that it's actually thought that the only person who knew every in and out of this mansion was Sarah, and when she passed away, she took all those secrets with her.
Yep.
So there's still a good chance that there are a lot of other locations that still haven't been discovered since she had passed. And that's saying something, because with how old this house is, and for there to be still this many mysteries, makes the place worthwhile going to begin with.
Yeah, so if you're ever going to be in the Bay Area, give Winchester Mystery House a gander. Take a good look at that. But again, thank you guys for staying tuned to this episode. Catch us next time. Again, this is a bi-weekly podcast. We post every other week. And catch us again. Our next one is going to be a true crime. Again, I'm not going to give it away what it is. You guys will be surprised.
I don't even know what it is.
Nope. You'll be surprised when it comes out. And I think this one is...
Is it BTK?
No.
Is it BTK?
No. But hold on. Let me just give you a small preview.
I think I remember who it is, but I'm not going to say who it is.
Oh, no. Okay. I thought it was a two-parter, but it's not a two-parter.
Okay.
So.
Never mind. Wait. No, never mind. That one wasn't a two-parter.
No, I thought it was a two-parter. It's not a two-parter. It's only a single one. But I think it's an interesting one that's not covered a whole lot. And I think it's funny. And I think you guys are going to have a blast. So enjoy it. Hit us up on Instagram or Facebook. Again, it's Tea Time Horrors. Or you can catch us on our Gmail, teatimehorrorstories@gmail.com. We will see you next time. Stay spooky, my friends.
And happy haunting.